This is Well Basically with your hosts, Mike DeSilva and Sam Weeks.
Well Basically.
Today's episode.
I can't stop thinking about food.
Have you ever felt this way? Well, me, Michael, and Katie decided we'd talk about it. We covered 6 points in detail to help you identify, are you thinking about food the right way? Are you thinking about it the wrong way? And then Katie did a big old share, didn't you, Kay?
Yarns.
We hope you enjoy today's episode. This is...
Well, basically.
Epic. Oh. Let me try that again. Wait, I think we're okay.
This is such a good way to start. I love it.
Jesus Christ.
Hello.
Shall I get my other headphones?
No, we're good. We're good now.
I'm too scared to talk.
No, we're fine. Sorry, listeners, I'm going to keep that in because it's funny. It sounds like a real nightmare. Maybe we should just do a whole podcast of that. Why don't you have... Oh my god, the technical difficulties today are
Katie's
crazy.
Nope. Bye.
She's just left.
She's like, fuck you.
Where's Katie gone?
Two times.
Is that this one? I've got something different queued up. I feel like
I'm glad you have something different queued up because I actually fucking hate that song.
Why is that song in your head right now?
I think because you just said one more time.
Oh.
And that's what came to mind.
That's a different song though.
I know.
One more time.
Yeah, I was singing two different songs.
Yeah, you were. I'm going to say this: the technical difficulties are over and we're ready to rock and roll.
Yeah, we're ready to rock and roll. I'm going to get the microphone set up for next time.
Yeah, we'll give it a crack. We'll give it a good hard crack. We're not filming today because there's too much light in this room. And I was like, it's going to look like shit if we film it. And the camera still hasn't arrived yet. They're on back order. So you guys holding out for more video content, I refuse to edit it on my phone again. So I'm going to wait until I actually have a camera where I can chuck it into the right places and be able to make it look even better for you guys.
I'm going to wear makeup.
Are you? No.
Yes.
We should all do that. You know what? I actually thought about it this morning. We should do, if once we start filming, if we're going to do a theme.
It's a light layer of foundation and a smoky eye. Nothing crazy.
Yeah.
Maybe a nude lip.
No, if we're going to do themed episodes like the one we're going to do today, we should probably direct wear something appropriate to do with the episode. I think that would be quite fun.
Oh, like
I wear a blazer so that I sound fancy.
Okay. Yep.
I was thinking like a pickle outfit.
Yeah, you could come as a pickle. That sounds
a food item.
That would be the appropriate. We're not segueing yet. Sounds like we're going to, but I promise we're not. Hey, Katie, I really liked your post that you did on Instagram the other day. What was the inspiration for that?
What was it?
The one that I just posted yesterday about just doing what you want instead of doing what everyone else expects you to do.
Yeah, that exact one.
I was just like, you know when you're just like going for a little walk and you're just like having a chill and then you think about things that you were going to do when you were young that you told everybody you'd do when you're an adult. My one was to eat ice cream for breakfast and, you know, like my mum would be like, you can't eat ice cream for breakfast. And I'd be like, why? She's like, you can't. It's not a breakfast food. And I'd be like, well, when I'm an adult, I'm going to eat ice cream for breakfast. She was like, yeah, good for you. And
you did it.
Well, nah, I was thinking as an adult, like I haven't done any of the stuff that I wanted to do when I was a kid. And I was like, what the hell? We need to eat ice cream for breakfast. We need to be like, you know, living our best lives.
I'm up for that.
Yeah. And so
I don't like ice cream.
Well, I mean, if you liked ice cream.
But I do eat chocolate for breakfast.
Okay.
Sometimes.
Let me devil's advocate this shit because I had a thought when you did this. And we like to do this on the podcast when we have ideas.
Oh, no.
And
they're
Mikey.
About to roast me, everyone.
No, we're not
going to. Throw Katie under the bus time, isn't it?
No. Wow. How do I put this analogy? You have the ability to have ice cream for breakfast.
Exactly.
So, like, people, when we say, do what you want. like you could come at this from several angles, but I was thinking like some people might necessarily know what they want because they haven't had the experience in the gym that we've had. So I was thinking about how you apply this to people who are potentially new to training. And that's all about context, because I feel like when you were doing yours, you were specifically talking to people who are obviously really into the fitness space and are maybe in that place where they're doing things that they think are the best thing for them when really they should be listening to their bodies and whatnot.
And also, like, I don't know about you two, but like eating fish and broccoli made me really, really fucking sad. I don't even like fish, and I was forcing myself to eat it. I was like, why? Why did I do that?
Because you thought it was the right thing to do. And that's how a lot of people start. But it's like about sometimes going through that process is how you get to the learning. And I was thinking as I was reading, it's like, how do we get people to start there?
With ice cream?
You know, in the right place, because we've got jumped through so many hoops and jumped over so many hurdles to get to where we are now. And we're giving people all of this information because we let them know the risk, but I think it's quite a tricky task, is it not?
No, not really. I have this conversation with my clients literally all the time. I'm like, what do you like to do? And they're like, oh, I like to go to jump with my kid. I'm like, cool. Do you know that going to jump also you can get fit from going to jump with your kid? And they're like, no. I'm like, yes, you should go, you know, once or twice a week. If you like doing that, do that.
But do they absolutely love the training you do with them all the time? Because I always have clients who don't like the stuff that I necessarily give them. And I think that's also a reality. You're not always going to like what the best thing for you is. Like if I got an injury and I had to rehab it, I think it's the most boring thing ever.
Yeah, rehab sucks.
You can do the things that you don't enjoy.
Yes.
Because there are people out there that aren't going to like any form of exercise, but you can still do it.
This is where Mikey's exactly made my point just then.
Okay, understand.
Because, one of the things that is good for your health is moving in some way. So even if you despise walking, if you want to stab your eyes out, if you...
I hate to see the world.
But you can still do it just a little bit. There might be certain barriers that come into it, but remember my brushing your teeth analogy?
What? Okay, sorry. Go through. It's been a long time since I've heard that.
Oh, you want to hear that again? Yeah. Because like when you wake up in the morning, are you like, God, I cannot wait to brush my teeth?
You don't like brushing your teeth?
I mean, it feels better afterwards. Same as exercise.
Do you have an electric toothbrush?
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. It's.
But like I'm not always, God, I cannot wait to brush my teeth.
Oh, mine's going to time.
I don't stop in the middle of the
day.
It's
so exciting.
I can't wait to floss.
Mine's like a challenging game where I'm like, I've got to get to the end of this 2-minute timer. And then
No games. Despise it. Absolutely despise it.
Really?
I
don't brush my tongue. As much as. That's like a bit of gag action.
But I do it because it is good for my health. So really? I do it.
Yeah.
I just have to do it.
But I feel like, Sam, I just want to point out. So it was like not so much the concept of only do the things that you want to do. It was more the concept of putting yourself first as opposed to putting yourself last. So forcing yourself to do stuff that makes you miserable versus empowering yourself and like choosing to do things that like are putting yourself first. So choosing a movement that you like would be putting yourself first as opposed to choosing a movement you hate. Does that make sense? Hey.
Absolutely makes sense. I just like to do that stuff so we can dive into the ideas more. I was not a personal attack at all. And also context is an absolute thing, which is how we're going to start our topic. But first, we're going to do the intro. I feel sad for you. It's a good song. Welcome, first time listeners, second time listeners, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, tenth, 11th. I haven't counted that high in a long time. You guys who listen every week, we love you the most. Shout out to those who work in public transport. We care about you. Getting us from A to B. I knew Mikey would like this one.
What's the name of it? It's got a really random name, isn't it?
I believe it's I Feel Love, because it goes...
Yes.
I feel love, I feel love.
Why did I think it was Let Them Eat Cake or something random? Thank you, have another one. I digress.
I always know I'm at a good party when someone plays this song. It's that little synth hook at the start. I am here. Katie is here. Mike is here. And we're going to have a good time. We're going to have a topic this week. Not just Sam talking about holiday. Although that was pretty fun. It was fun. I was sick. And if you feel love, put your hands up in the air. This is Well Basically episode number 103? 102.
102.
Yeah, 102. I never get that number right. We need a producer. Amazing. I didn't ask how either of you guys were.
Are you fully back on track now? Are you like feeling the life vibe again? Are you like
you're back on the chain gang?
No. Today's a really bad day. Just so you know, if I'm a little bit low on energy, you guys might have to carry this a bit. And I feel fine absolutely saying that.
What do you mean?
I'm very tired today. I had to get up very earlier than usual, and I'm still not fully adjusted to being not in holiday mode. So it's just taking me a little bit of time. I also think I've lost not this is a good or a bad thing, but after being sick, I've lost I think considerable weight. And I've gone straight back into exercise again, and I don't think I'm fully ready for it. And Friday's come around, and I'm like, I'm actually quite finished today. I'm done. And luckily, I have a really hectic weekend coming up as well. So perfect.
Yes.
But that's the way the cookie crumbles sometimes, and I'll be fine. I'm just going to get to bed really early tonight. I have to do all of the editing. But that shouldn't take me too long, because we're going to talk like absolute legends, give these guys lots of information that they can absorb, think about, and then go to sleep afterwards.
Yeah, we'll put you to sleep.
How good is bed? And we don't want to put them to sleep. Don't say that.
No, we want to get them juiced up. But we're going to make no mistakes so that you don't have to edit them out, Sam.
Yeah.
It's going to be a long
Guess what? I've been doing zero edit. So all your ums and ahs and all that stuff, think about it, because they're going to stay. Okay, context. So what is our topic today, Katie? Take us through it.
Oh, wow. Way to put a girl on the spot.
I was just thinking, Sam. I'm glad he asked Katie, because I can't remember. I know it. But it's why am I always thinking about food?
Why are you always thinking about food?
Why am I always thinking about food?
That's it. Say it again, just like that.
Why am I always thinking about food?
Yeah. Okay. Oh. So
I also always think about food a lot.
Do you? Well, let's start there, because I don't.
Before we get into this, because we had a little good discussion on together as a little well-basically team, and you added a point to the end, which we were going to cover at the end. But I think when we talk about this topic, we're talking to quite a specific group of people. And I just want to make this clear before we get into it, because Mikey added that lovely point at the end where you talked about liking food and thinking about food not just as fuel, and that food is pleasurable, and that could be a reason as to why you're thinking about food all the time. I'm removing those people. I don't want this episode to apply to them, because I don't think it detracts from the audience and the people who actually might need this conversation. Because I think if you're thinking like that, and
no,
I
have to disagree, because some people that are listening might want to actually go, I'm thinking about it in a normal way. And a lot of different people who may or may not have these feelings could be listening.
Okay, well, let's start there. What's thinking about it in a normal way?
The point that I was trying to make was that we don't want to always pathologize thoughts on food, right? Like, it is actually normal to think about food. And to be hungry and be excited about food, because that's like a biological kind of driver. This is what we're meant to want food, because food keeps you alive, number one. And as we've kind of moved through life and evolution, we've developed culture around food. So this food is more than a one-dimensional thing. It's lots of things. And so if you are thinking about food, that's also normal. But some of us may also experience feelings where it's always on our mind, which is where the conversation will come in today.
Well, it's just a quick question. If food was one-dimensional, does that mean you're only eating Listerine strips?
I mean, well, technically, at a very minute level, still three-dimensional.
You just press everything flat.
All you're thinking about is
pancakes only.
A4 paper. Yeah.
Like, if we put like a Listerine strip under a microscope, we probably find that it's like quite a large rectangular cube shape. So
it's a big little
it wouldn't be 1D, would it?
I mean, I don't have my
1D, one direction.
One direction. So let's start from the top. Now that we've done a little, Mikey, honestly, that was a great intro. I love it.
Well, thank you. You're welcome.
So I thought we'd cover some reasons why you might be thinking about food too much. And through covering those points, we can come up with some solutions together. Because most of these points, I was thinking about me mostly, but I feel like it's a very general population thing, and anyone who's kind of been on this train of thinking about food has probably felt these one or all or some of these points. Reason number one, not eating enough.
Mm. Amen.
If you are hungry, you're always going to be thinking about food. Remember what I just said, like we're more inclined, there's going to be those drivers, those, you know, innate kind of primal drivers to eat food because that's what keeps you alive.
Yep.
That's what you need to do to stay alive. That's like one of your fundamental kind of things.
There's a really good analogy that I've heard used, and I'm going to use it because it applies to this fundamental need to live and consume food. If you are doing a length in a pool and you're trying to do the whole thing underwater, the start's going to be pretty okay. And then as you get towards the end of that pool, you're going to start thinking about the fact that you need to breathe. And then you're going to keep thinking about it more and more and more until they get the end. And then what happens when you get to the end? Huge breath in.
Or you drown.
Or you just die. That's what happens when you don't eat food. P.S.
Yeah, well, that makes more sense, right? Like, you're more likely to die from not eating than eating too much.
Yeah, it's absolutely.
You stay alive a lot longer one way than the other.
So I guess a way to solve that not eating enough is to just actually eat. It's kind of covered in point two, but eat a good quantity of food so that you're feeling full.
Yeah, just try throwing in something extra.
Which also brings us
another meal, another snack.
And then, yeah. I mean, also not ignoring your hunger cues too. Like if your body is telling you that you're hungry, it means that it wants some fuel.
Mm.
So eat a snack or a meal or whatever's going to set your soul on fire, really.
Yeah, which kind of was a great segue, Katie, into our next point, because there's so much more to eating than just eating and feeling full. There's also a feeling of satisfaction that comes with eating. And you can, this is what I used to do, eat a bowl of cauliflower rice instead of rice, right? And there's a whole bunch of volume in that. Right, and it's supposed to fill you up because it's you can eat so much of it. It's got net zero calories, and it should. I felt full on that before, but guess what? I'd be running to the fridge for something else almost straight after, not for the fact that I wasn't full, but because I wasn't satisfied with what I just ate. Your body will let you know what it actually wants as well. Once you learn to tackle these things, it's not just about the feeling of fullness, but it's also satisfying what your body wants and needs at that given moment. So it's not just hunger. It's something else. There's another layer to it.
And one of the, like, that could be taste. That could be, you just feel like rice, but it could also be calories, because there's not the same amount of calories in cauliflower than there is rice.
Absolutely
right?
Not.
Yeah.
So there's like lots of different ways that you could not be satisfying those needs. Excuse me.
In nutrients as well. Like, so, you know, if you get an odd craving and you're actually in tune and able to listen to what you want. When I had COVID, I desperately wanted to eat as many mushrooms as I could get my hands on, and not the special kind, Sam.
Love those, though.
I was just like, I have a lot in my freezer. Maybe you should come to New Zealand. And so I was just like, yeah, really craving mushrooms. And I couldn't figure it out why. And so I Googled it, like, why am I craving mushrooms? And they have high in iodine, and then also they are really good at helping your immune system. and fight viruses. So I was like, oh, cool. That's real rad. Our bodies are actually a lot smarter than we give them credit for. So not only do they send you hunger cues, if it needs something, bar like a carbohydrate, protein, or fat, it actually can let you know that it wants something very specific, like mushrooms.
Or MDMA.
Unless you're pregnant. Unless you're pregnant, because my mother craved washing powder.
Oh my god.
Oh,
what?
Yeah. I know a lady who wanted to eat dirt and cat food.
Have you seen those?
Like, don't do that.
Completely off topic, but you know those people who eat like the most random shit? Have you seen the documentary about the woman who eats
like
rocks?
Clay pots.
Yeah.
Oh.
Like,
is that intuitive eating, do you think?
No, I think they've got something a bit not. They need some help there. Don't eat
like
your pots.
A mental, they need some help.
Well, those people are eating food that they like, obviously.
But there are some cultures that make, they're like clay biscuits and like literal, they're sort of made out of the specific type of
dirt.
Is that
in Africa or something where they can't actually get food, or is it out of necessity?
It's in like a few different cultures.
I actually think I have heard of that, but it's in the back of my brain. I don't feel I can be informative on that.
Yeah, and the dirt or the clay actually has something
nutrient
in it, which is, it's minimal, but it's something.
Yeah. We have like nutrients and stuff that we're supposed to get from our soil. And we don't get them because of industrial farming. So I wonder if it's, I don't know exactly what one it is, but I wonder if it's rich in whatever that little clay biscuit is.
Hey, maybe guess what? That is a amazing, well-based, our first product, dirt discs.
Get all of your nutrients.
Well, there's another point, which is kind of related to people eating rocks and dirt. It's sort of, not really. But a reason why you might be thinking about food all the time is you're not actually eating food that you like.
Mm.
Yes. Also, on that note, if you're only eating foods that you don't really enjoy, you don't absorb as many nutrients, no matter if they're highly nutritious.
What?
You actually don't absorb.
I didn't know that.
What?
As many nutrients than if you enjoyed it. There you go.
Can you link me that study? That sounds remarkable.
I'll fish around for wherever I've...
Mike,
into my
facts.
Cauldron.
That sounds wild. I guess, wow. I mean, there is a huge connection to emotions and food, but that would, if the article exists and Mikey's not just pulling
it. No, it definitely does. It's from Health at Every Size.
Okay,
it'll
cool.
be Lindo Bacon's book.
Yeah, find it for me. I would love to put that in the description if you guys want to know more about that, because I sure as hell do. But yeah, I have been there not eating the foods that I like. What was the food?
Yeah, well, I just want to know, like, did either of you, obviously, I just talked about how I hate fish and I ate fish, like, for, like, 14 weeks straight. That was, like, the only protein source apart from protein powder I ate. It was awful. I was sad. I would cry into my fish.
Yeah, that's a good indication.
Yeah, I don't like it. Changes. I will never eat it again. Anyway, what was a food that you both would, I mean, Mikey, maybe you didn't do it, subject yourself to eat, even though you just bloody hated it?
The thing is, I'm not very picky. So I am like I love food and I love making delicious food, but I also like, I don't hate anything, I don't think.
Yes, sometimes oatmeal.
Oh yeah.
But sometimes I also love it. But I remember when I said I went through this phase of becoming obsessed with fiber intake.
Mm.
So I had it in my mind that I would have to eat oatmeal in the mornings. And I just sometimes despised it. But now that I don't, like, I have a preference for toast because that's what I feel like when I wake up.
Mm.
But now that I don't, there are days when I'm like, oh, I really feel like a bowl of oatmeal with whatever on it. And there would have been, I think, probably cauliflower. I just despise carrots still.
Yeah, right.
And mixed vegetables, frozen mixed vegetables, they make me want to vomit.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I still do.
I've tried to do things to them. I've tried to do things to them. I still want to vomit.
Yeah.
Awful.
I also feel like my palate's quite adaptable. Like, as soon as I switch from eating meat and mostly eating fish, tofu, but plant-based / sea-based, even though I thought I didn't like tofu initially, I will figure out a way to make it taste good and then I won't complain about it. I like everything. It's weird. I love it. All of it. Give it to me. Yum, yum, yum.
A lot more feelings attached to food than the way that you feel about it, Sam, which is like, I'm very funny about like certain textures. And I don't know. I don't think they're necessarily disordered habits. Like it's not, I would eat a meal if somebody put it down in front of me, but I definitely have foods that I enjoy a lot more. I love crunchy foods. So crackers, carrots, popcorn, chips, anything that's super crunchy, biscuits, I'm all over it. Like anything crunchy, love it.
Interesting. Yeah. I've never thought about textures on that level for myself personally. Hmm.
I like a combination of textures. Because I have a refined palate.
I like chips. But who doesn't like chips? Let's move on to our next point. Labeling foods good and bad. This is another reason why people think about food, and it's a super, super common one. And we, Katie, you were talking about having specific tastes. I think where a lot of my sort of issues came from was that initially, because it's the classic Sam, and probably anyone else who's suffered from any sort of binge eating, is when you say no to something and you label as bad and then you don't have it for a long time and then you have it and then you're like, I don't know when I'm going to get this again, so I may as well go the whole hog. And then you pig out on that specific thing or specific things that you've been omitting, those bad things, and then you go into hiding away from those bad things again for a long time. And guess what you think about when you're hiding away from the stuff that you tell yourself is bad and you don't want to have? That exact thing.
And it creates this, like, it gives that item the power of you, kind of, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But also, like I was just saying, to reiterate, like, overemphasizing stuff that's good, like with the oatmeal thing and the fiber thing. Like, what am I trying to say here? Like, that's kind of
like favoring being like, well, I should eat half of my plate veggies and then quarter protein and quarter.
So those are sort of, we're talking about orthorexic, more sort of orthorexic tendencies, where we're hyper focused on the nutrient density and quality of the food. Because let's be real, right? Good and bad foods, like, that's not a thing, but there are differences in nutrients between foods. There's no doubt about that. We can't pretend like all food is the same, but it is all food.
Well, I guess we would be like nutrient sparse and nutrient dense, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
and there's different. Well, go, Mikey. Oh, come on.
Yeah, go
give
on.
It to me.
I mean, for me, it always depends, because calories are the most important thing first. I mean, but I would agree that some foods behave differently in your body.
Absolutely right.
Your body takes them in differently, and that's something to be aware of.
Mm.
But as always, like, the most important thing is your relationship to
food. Those foods. First and foremost, the whole point of this episode is food freedom and trying to find that and how to get that and trying to break those metaphorical food chains.
But I mean, for me, donuts, like, the thing is now
linked and bagels.
I don't actually think about nutritious and non-nutritious, or how nutritious something is, anywhere near as much as I used to.
Same.
Yeah, I like can also concur. You know, I could look at, more often than not, I guess it might be the same for you too, I check in and I'm like, what do I actually want? And if I'm like, toast, I'm like, great. And then I will just make a piece of toast with whatever I want on it and eat the toast.
Because it's crunchy.
Yeah, it's delicious.
But how far does that extend out for you guys? Like, these might be foods at home, but are there other foods that you still
avoid?
Have avoidance towards? Because I can legitimately like order McDonald's and feel very neutral about, like, I don't really think about nutrition content.
I wouldn't say that.
And also, may I point out, there is nutrition in McDonald's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everything that you eat has nutrition.
You get quite, I'm bastardizing terminology here. But it's just as an example, like, you know, you can get iron from a burger.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it doesn't, it all comes down to what you actually like, right? Like, I wouldn't order McDonald's because I don't like it. Like, I don't genuinely do not enjoy it.
What about a French fry, though?
Yeah, that was just an example, though. Like, there are other...
I would eat a French fry, but I wouldn't go out of my way to get it because it doesn't set my soul on fire. But I would, like, go and seek out something that does set my soul on fire, like a really large one of those, like, fancy sandwiches or something. I'm like, yeah, that sets my soul on fire. But it would depend on what I felt like, right?
A fancy sandwich. I want to call the episode that.
A fancy sandwich, you know, like roast veggies and like some aioli and like, I don't know, some faux meats or tofu and then like some pickle and then like some cheese.
Wait, do you have chips in your house?
No.
Oh.
In the freezer sometimes we do.
Yeah.
Like the packets of the non-French fry variety. No.
And do you want to know why?
Yeah, tell me.
Because when we buy corn chips, we will eat them the day that we buy them.
What's wrong with that?
Well, it's nothing. But I mean, that's why we buy it as needed.
Mm-hmm. Wink.
Yes, I know. There's definitely some foods that I still avoid. Like, I don't have a fully healed relationship with food, and I flip-flop in and out of that. Sometimes I'm going real great, and sometimes I'm not doing too great with it. But there definitely is still some food that I haven't conquered yet.
Mm. That's super. I mean,
at least you can be honest about it, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. I tell all of my clients, like, hey, take this with a grain of salt because I'm only talking from my experience, and there's still times where it pops up for me.
You know what the best thing was for me?
Yes.
Was starting a food business. And making cookies, making bread, just having this stuff around all the time and being involved in the making of it. And then obviously I'm going to eat it because it's there and I'm making it for others. So I have to make sure it tastes tip top. Mm. So I was like,
it's always there.
It's my job and it's always here. And now it's just like all that stuff's a normal thing. If you took my cupboard 2 years ago versus what it looks like now, it'd be completely different. I've got chocolate chips. I've got chips, Pringles, all the stuff in there.
I have a 1 kilogram jar of Nutella on my bedside. Just in case.
Yeah.
For emergencies.
I saw in relation to this, there was a guy on TikTok today who's like a fitness influencer. And I was like, because TikTok's, hey, have you got it, Mikey? You'll get hopelessly addicted if you get it. But this guy popped up and he's like, here's what I do when I'm craving chocolate. And he just walked into the fridge and ate chocolate. I was like, yes. It's so good. Katie, I really want to get back to you and how you're going with things at the end before we get to this last point, because we've got one more point to go. So number five, which was a really interesting one when we kind of had a little chat about this, emotional crutch. Control/coping.
Wait.
Yeah, so for me, food was never really on my brain. I wasn't really ever thinking about it when I used it as like some form of escapism. That's why that one didn't really resonate with me, because it wasn't really ever about the food. Food wasn't really on my mind. It was just a vice to kind of get out of what was in that situation. So what was on my mind was actually the scenario or the situation rather than the food. It just happened to come about or be there. So it wasn't really down that same ballpark, but not quite the same for me. It was always about, it was just, I mean, it could have been something else. It could have been alcohol.
Yeah.
Could have been, which it was as well.
Yeah.
It could have been other things, some sort of distraction, and it could change depending on the situation. One day it could be food, one day it could be something else. It could change, but it was never really about the food. And sometimes I would be sitting there eating the food and I wasn't even really thinking about the food. I was just trying to distract myself from the other stuff that was going on.
The coping one is something that I've heard people bring up, which is why I include it. But again, for me, food and coping, I don't eat if I'm stressed. So I don't think about food. I just don't eat it. And it doesn't result in binge behavior. I just don't fucking eat. I literally just stop eating. When I'm in those situations where I'm stressed, I have to just really make sure and understand what's going on in my head, which is what I imagine if someone was doing the opposite and binge eating as a part of coping, is being cognizant of the fact that that is what they're doing in the moment. Because if it's in that scenario, if it's feeding into that whole guilt thing, then that's when it becomes bad. But I've never used it for coping. I understand the control part so well.
Hasn't taken it away for the control.
When you get stressed, just do you just not feel hungry, or do you just feel like you have so many things to do, you just don't have time? Like, how, like, is it, or you were like, oh, it would take too much time to eat? Or you're just like, I feel too anxious to eat?
That's probably a mixture of the two, really. I just get all worked up, which actually hasn't happened for a long time. It doesn't become a priority for me because I'm concerned with other things. So I'm just like, you know, today where I'm really tired, but I'm not stressed. I made a Japanese okonomiyaki, which is the cabbage pancake. Ooh. And this is something that I've been doing. I've been making like 5-star meals for myself when I'm hungry. That's also been really great. And learning how to make specific things. But yeah, the control thing. And like, this doesn't necessarily apply to me. It's not.
Explain that one to me though. I don't quite understand.
Yeah, I mean, there's like two ways, I guess. Well, like for me, it was just an element of control when I found, particularly through COVID and when I was tracking heaps, everything felt like it was out of control. And I think by default, I went, I need to control just one thing, just one tiny thing. This one tiny little thing that's not going to do any damage at all.
I see what you're saying. So it's not really about the food. You're controlling what goes in
via that. And so that's where that element of control. And also people just need to feel that secure and safety. So like I know people, for example, if we're going out to dinner or something like that, where they will have to look at the menu, they will have to look at what they're going to get before they get there. And to me, that just, I'm just like, well, okay, you could just wait and choose it off the menu, but some people need that. I don't know if you foresee this like as problematic for you guys, but I always see that as like, why are you stressing so much about that? Why is it that important that you choose the thing that's on the menu specifically before it? And why do you need to see the menu?
But then is it because they are so excited to try somewhere new?
I do this.
Yes, some people, but I also know people who, to me, this does not appear that it's coming from a place of excitement. It's a very different attitude. It's not like, oh my God, I can't wait to try this. It's like, I need to see what they have.
I have anxiety about the situation that's coming up, and am I going to be able to eat something that's from the menu?
Mm.
So I need to figure that out now and work my whole life around it.
Yeah.
For like dietary requirements, sometimes I'm like, if my friend's like, hey, I want to go here, I'll just have a quick scan to make sure they have something.
That's very different. Yeah, that's very different.
Like, is it? Slow wink.
What if they don't have vegan things on the menu?
Then sometimes I just eat fries.
Yeah, that's my default as well. Lettuce. I'm like, oh my God, these French fries.
I'll have the fries and lettuce thing.
Honestly.
Like, I'm going to make fry lettuce cups.
And I've been like, can I please have the side salad with no feta? And they're like, oh, it's just tomato, onion and olives. Then I'm like, that's fine.
I'm aware
of that.
Can
I also please have the fries? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, dope. Can I please have sauce on the side? And then my friend has sat there and been like, why don't you tell me that you can't eat here? I'm like, oh, I'm quite happy with my fries and lettuce.
But where does, have we finished with that point?
Yes, we're done. Let's just recap all those points. Any of those things. So it can be any of those things.
Which is why you're thinking about food.
Well, could be a reason why you're thinking about food. Could be one, could be heaps. It's usually a combination of all of them. I've experienced all of them at different times and all at the same time. And
can I round out with a historical point?
Go.
Yeah.
You're allowed to do that.
I've mentioned the study before, but remember the Minnesota Starvation Experiment. Is that the right name? Was it Minnesota?
I believe it was Minnesota.
Was it Chicago?
No.
Was it Delaware?
Mikey, names, American cities, go.
He starved his people for 60 days. Was it that dude?
Might have been, yeah. So previously perfectly healthy individuals. They were put on this restrictive diet to see how they would refeed people that have been in like war scenarios.
Yeah.
And so they hadn't had any previous history that they'd told them about with eating disorders. But afterwards, from just that act of like restriction, they started to exhibit signs commonly seen in people with eating disorders, like an obsession with food.
And potatoes, I think, was one they got really obsessed with.
And some people right up until, you know, they did follow-ups, like still going.
Very interesting study.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's why we don't diet. That was an absolute bastardization of that study, but you get the idea.
I think you recapped it nicely. A few cities.
Tennessee.
Wow, that could be some reasons. Now, Katie, why do you still think about food? What do you think it is? If you were to pick something from that list or a number of those things,
what would you pick?
I use food as, like, you know, I talk to my clients about this quite often, and I'm not really shy about it. Like, I say to them, I use food as a self-soothing mechanism. It's part of, like, you know, emotional eating. It's part of my toolkit for coping. And especially if I am feeling uncertain or stressed, I have like quite a few tools in my toolkit, including angry crying, which generally chooses me. I don't choose it. obviously, training, getting outside, doing a meditation, doing some breath work, cold shower. Like, you know, I have a lot of tools in my toolkit, talking to my therapist. But if my brain suddenly goes, you know, I'm experiencing anxiety and my brain goes, you know what? I want a snack. I'm like, okay. And then I'll be thinking about food and then off I go, trot to the kitchen. I'll make up a snack and a hot tea. Like yesterday I was feeling like a bit anxious and I couldn't figure out why. There was like no thing that triggered me necessarily. So I couldn't be like, oh, here's the thing and let's fix it. I was just feeling shit. So I made myself a little snack and a tea and I sat down and I enjoyed my tea and my snack and I felt a lot better. And then I went for a walk. But because it is part of my toolkit, naturally, when I get emotions, I'll often think like, oh, if I eat, will I feel better? Yes or no? Just scanning through my kit. Sometimes it's yes, sometimes it's no. It just depends. But also, I think old habits die hard. And sometimes when I am stressed, my brain will flick into my restrictive mind space that it used to go to a lot of the time when I felt like life was easier when I controlled food and I controlled my intake. Life wasn't easier then. It was miserable. But it, like, for this disordered little piece in my brain sometimes really flicks on, especially when I'm struggling. And it will almost try to convince me that was correct, even though my rational brain knows it was not correct and it is not correct. So sometimes I get stuck in, for a few hours, maybe a few days, in the headspace of good and bad camps. I'm like, I can't have that because that's bad. I should have this because it's good. Then generally, because I'm so aware and so mindful of it, I can pull myself back into alignment and be like, hey, we're going back down that rabbit hole again. No, the way that we're thinking about food is not conducive right now, and we're using it as a crutch for trying to control the uncontrollables.
Mm.
Like, you know, I can't control what somebody thinks about me on a Tuesday afternoon.
Tuesdays are bad.
Yeah.
Worst day of the week.
Yeah, you know, and I'm like trying to organize all of my thoughts and all of the way that I'll react to things, where that people react to me in the little box. And a lot of the time, because I've had a disordered relationship with food, I notice sometimes my head will wander back down that path. But it's in recovery, obviously, like being in recovery and having struggled with that kind of stuff, I have to pull myself back off that path and be like, no, we know where that leads. It's not good. There's no such thing as good and bad foods. Back on our horse we go. And then I'm off. I'm generally fine.
Mm. But
definitely admitting I do have times where I think like that again.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think you've highlighted that emotional eating can be good.
Yeah, the way you should be. The way you talked about it just then made it sound very healthy and reasonable.
Yeah.
And,
of course. Yeah, but even to be honest, I still eat when I'm bored and or stressed. And I'm like, who cares? Honestly, because I mean, I think for me, maybe it's slightly different, maybe because I don't know. I'm not just using that, but like in the grand scheme of things.
But I think the key is knowing that being cognizant of the fact that you are doing that.
Yeah, or that you are bored.
But I don't care.
Yeah.
Like, really? There can be worse things that you can be doing.
That's fine. You
like,
do you,
my sister gets stressed and goes and drives 100 mile an hour through the McDonald's drive-thru to buy a cheeseburger. And I'm like, yeah, well, who cares? You're not doing drugs.
It would
anymore.
Only be an issue if it was making the person really, like, anxious, sad, upset. I think it would only be a negative thing if it was eliciting a negative emotion in them that they didn't enjoy.
If you're doing it in a way that you guys have just described where there's none of that and you acknowledge the fact that it's in your toolkit, if there's no guilt post, perfect.
Zero guilt.
Amazing.
You should see me sometimes. I just get into that 1 kg jar of Nutella.
With a teaspoon?
No reason. Tablespoon.
Why? Teaspoon doesn't reach to the bottom of the jar.
Mikey uses a
ladle.
A ladle.
Because there's no judgment attached to it, I can often get quite bored of it.
Yeah.
Not really enjoy it. So I put it back, but I keep it there because sometimes I do really want it.
And I keep
that big spoon.
I just want to make a point too that like there's behaviors that kind of nobody talks about being disordered as such that for me were warning bells that I really ignored. And I think like, I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong team, but like watching food videos and like people making food and being overly invested in what they're making.
Yeah. That's an interesting one. My favorite thing to do now is I do the opposite. I listen to all of the diet culture bullshit and the latest research is out there. So if you like watch Joe Rogan podcast or something, and I'll watch and I'll be like, oh my God, this sounds like the worst fucking thing ever. Why would anyone do this in the pursuit of health? And I love food TV. It's my favorite thing to watch. It's been my favorite thing to watch since I was a kid. I used to put it on in the background when I was practicing saxophone. But I also, this is what Mikey was talking about and what we kind of talked about at the start. I wanted to be a chef and I've always been sort of in love with how food is made. So it's all context. It's like, how are you thinking about
really
that?
It depends. I think if you're not eating and you're doing those things.
Yeah. The key thing
maybe,
is if you're
like,
not eating.
I also like to make food and then watch a food related show.
Yeah. It's very
really?
It's,
yeah, because I also like learning how and why they do things.
Katie, have you ever watched The Great British Bake Off? It's the greatest show ever.
Oh, God. Or just Alison Roman.
Oh my God.
So good.
Yeah.
I tell you, there's only a few people I watch on TikTok because I'm trying not to go down the TikTok hole because I know if I go down there, there's no coming back. But there is a guy called Arcadia for Sandwich. Oh my God, I'm obsessed with it. He rolls Dungeons and Dragons dice every day to dictate what kind of sandwich he makes. And it is so fun. So, like the other day he ate like a tuna fish, peanut butter jelly, cheese, and like onions because that's what the dice rolled for him. I just love the chance in there and the fact that some days he has to eat disgusting sandwiches. And people send him dice and all kinds of stuff to put in his sandwiches. But yeah, shout out to you. You're amazing.
Oh my God.
It also helps me sometimes because during the day when I take medication, I don't get hungry. But if I start watching like a food video, I'm like, actually,
I could eat.
I'm hungry. Pause. Go down to the kitchen and make a snack and then come back up.
Yeah.
That's the same for me. And I got to say, Mikey, like I actually really struggled when I first started the medication that both me and Mikey take because when intuitive eating, I was like relying on my hunger cues to tell me when I was hungry. And then I didn't really have any.
Yeah.
Well,
presumably your therapist told you about mechanical eating.
Yes. Well, okay. I was just kind of like,
what's that? When you put your head in a machine and it chooses the food for you.
Yeah. It does it for you.
Yeah.
It kind of threw me until I started like, you know, setting alarms like, okay, well it's lunchtime. I need to eat lunch. And now my hunger cues have completely returned, but yeah, there was a while where I was like, oh, this is weird.
Yeah. There you go.
Hey, what a great chat. Thank you so much for sharing that, Katie. That was good. I like it. Content, content, content. Thank you so much for listening to Well Basically. If you want to find Mikey, you can find him at Well Basically Mikey. If you want to find Katie Fisher, you can find her at Katie Fisher Fit. If you want to find me, you can find me at Well Basically Sam. The podcast is at Well Basically Podcast. The website is www.wellbasicallypod.com. It is a website. And that's all I have to say on the matter this week.
It's also free.
Oh, we can't. We're not doing that bit this week. I'm done with that. I need to come up with something new. I'll come up with something new. Maybe we'll create an entirely new episode relevant to the podcast that I can talk about. It's green and there's things there. You guys know that, right? You know that. Well, basically, that's it.